Okay, thank you. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Sometimes repetition is good. So just on everyone's behalf, I want to continue to thank Stuart Rosenthal, not just for organizing, but especially for his keeping to it. And for whatever it's worth, I really want to thank all of you. It's something we spoke about last year, but I think it's also worth repeating every now and then. When a number of people come to something like this, I think it inspires and encourages everyone there. And then there's I think there's a more motivation and focus when there's more people here. So thank you, everyone, for coming. And I must confess, those who know me well, I'm sure know by now that I'm a pretty big pessimist. And part of me, when Stuart came and said, okay, let's have another series, Rabbi, part of me said, gosh, doesn't he know no one's going to come anymore? And people are sick and tired of this. But okay, how can I say no to Stuart? So I thank Stuart, but I really thank all of you for continuing to come. And for those who thought I was going to share for 3 weeks the most exciting moments of my last vacation, I apologize for disappointing you. So we're going to talk about Pesukim Zimra over these 3 weeks. Primarily, we're going to focus on Ashrei. But before then, we're really going to talk about Pesukim Zimra in general. I just want to take a moment to think about, imagine for a moment, if you had to describe to someone who was not familiar with Jewish prayer, if you had to describe the morning service to someone. I don't mean the structure of the morning service. I mean, what happens? What do you say? So again, I'm sure people have wonderful ideas, but just to get moving a little bit, I'm sure people would say we ask God for things. What part of the davening do we ask God for things? Shmona Esrei, right? We certainly ask for things. I'm sure people would say that we speak of God's goodness and greatness, which is also in the Shmona Esrei. People might say that we say the Shema, it's Torah Mitzvah to say the Shema, to reflect on our devotion and dedication to God. You might even say that we talk about offerings that we can't bring, which is the very beginning of davening. You might say that we say blessings in the morning to thank God for all these capabilities that we have and sensations that we have when we get up in the morning, which is the brachos all the way in the beginning of the morning davening. My guess is you wouldn't even touch on Pesukim Zimra. That's my guess. And if a person would ask, okay, so what is Pesukim Zimra? Forgive the terminology, but probably the best thing we could say offhand is, I don't know, it's some kind of like warm-up for davening or something. That's what it feels like. We spend a lot of time in that warm-up. A lot of time. So what's it all about? So there's a lot to say. I'm sure we could look at the entire Pesukim Zimra in great detail. We're not going to do that because 3 weeks won't be enough for that. What I'd like to do tonight, like we've done in the past, we'll stop every now and then and kind of take questions and comments and things like that. I'd like to talk a little bit about the goal of Pesukim Zimra in terms of why it was instituted and what the rabbis who instituted had in mind. I want to talk a little bit about the structure of Pesukim Zimra. And then I want to spend the rest of tonight speaking specifically about Ashrei. Okay, which is, as it'll make more sense as we discuss, Ashrei is the core of Pesukim Zimra. Okay, there's a fascinating Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Chesem Beis. Reb Yossi says, I would like to have my portion be with those who say Hallel every day. I wish I could be so fortunate. If you'd like, by the way, there's a light upstairs, if you'd like, if we make it more comfortable. There's a switch in the corner over there. Okay. I wish my portion could be with those who say Hallel every day. The Gemara asks a question. It's a striking question. The Gemara says, yeah, but we say that if you say Hallel every day, you're considered to be cursing God, which we'll get into that a little bit later, what the Gemara even means by that. But the Gemara explains that that's not what Reb Yossi meant. Reb Yossi didn't mean the Hallel that we say on Hanukkah and Rosh Chodesh and Pesach and all that. The Gemara explains that what Reb Yossi meant was Pesukim Zimra. Literally Pesukim Zimra, these verses of song, of praise to God. That if I was the type of person who would say it every day, I wish I would be the type of person who would say it every day. The commentators explained he doesn't mean page 58 to whatever in the Art Scroll Siddur. He means specifically Ashrei and the five Hallelujahs. Now, the commentators also explained that it's not as easy as it sounds. In other words, wow, I at least sometimes do that, say Ashrei and all five Hallelujahs, gosh, but the point is to say it with real reflection and focus, that imagine if every day a person could say Ashrei, and some commentators say, just talk about Ashrei, by the way. person said every day, Ashrei and the Halukas with real focus, basically it's a ticket to Olam Haba. That's the point. A few comments about the value of Psukah de Zimra in general. There's a Tosfos in Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Aleph, who explains that we know that we need to come into davening with a feeling of Kovod Rosh. Kovod Rosh is a certain gravity for the importance of the moment. And Tosfos explains that that's why we say Psukah de Zimra. In other words, if we wouldn't have Psukah de Zimra, you just pop at the shul, everyone would say Baruch Hu, and you'd get right into davening, and we'd be missing the kind of getting into the appropriate mode. The Rosh says something so interesting. Sometimes even if we can't relate to something, to just hear it inspires also. The Rosh says we want to come into the mitzvah of davening with a sense of simcha, a sense of joy. And what could arouse joy more than words of Torah? In other words, Psukei de Zimra, literally, you know, I think most of the time people talk about Psukei de Zimra, they focus on the Zimra part, the songs of praise. Literally, Psukei de Zimra means verses. And again, if you scan through the Siddur, basically all of Psukei de Zimra, with a few exceptions, are verses from Tanakh. So it's just a fascinating thing to think about. You know, for example, the halacha is when a person, heaven forbid, a person is in Shiva. One of the restrictions of Shiva is they can't study regular parts of Torah. Why in the world can't they study regular parts of Torah? Because Torah is considered to bring joy to a person. So the Rosh says we want to come into davening with a sense of joy for our ability to talk to God. So what better way than reading Psukim relating to our relationship with God? It's a remarkable thing to even think about, you know. The tour, when he talks about Psukei de Zimra, he says a person needs to recite Psukei de Zimra with a tune and a pleasantness because it's a beautiful song that we sing to God. He's speaking specifically about Baruch Sha'omar, which is the beginning of Psukei de Zimra, but that the point seems to be for Psukei de Zimra in general. This is a whole different way of thinking about things. Let's talk a drop about the structure of Psukei de Zimra. It might be easiest if you follow along with me, if you'd like to. It's in the Art Scroll. I'm in the Art Scroll English on page 58. And whether you're a brown or black type of person in terms of the covers, it's the same pagination. So page 58. The beginning of Psukei de Zimra is a bracha. Baruch Shemar is a tefillah. That's a long bracha. We'll talk about that a little more in a moment. That's the beginning of Psukei de Zimra. The end of Psukei de Zimra, a lot of people don't realize this, the end of Psukei de Zimra is on page 82 in the Art Scroll, which is Yishtabach. It's very ironic. We, you know, when Minyanim switch, so the Chazan gets up at Yishtabach. So in our mind, oh, Psukei de Zimra is over, now it's Shacharis. Really, Yishtabach is the end of Psukei de Zimra, and the real end of it is, if you see at the very end of Yishtabach, Baruch Ato Hashem, Kel Melech Gadol B'Tishbachos, etc., Melech Kel Cheo Lamim, that's a bracha. So Baruch Sha'omar, the end of Baruch Sha'omar was Baruch Ato Hashem, Melech Mulal B'Tishbachos, and the end of Yishtabach is another bracha. These are the bookends to Psukei de Zimra. That's the beginning and end of Psukei de Zimra, and I don't want to get too bogged down by technicalities, but some people don't even realize we're halachically prohibited from speaking from the time we finish Baruch Sha'amar, certainly through Yishtabach, but then you're not allowed to talk again, but because unless it's relating to tefillah, because we're in the middle of something that we're saying a bracha on. That's the basic idea. Now, after Baruch Sha'amar, we have all these sections. There's a fascinating thing. The Re Bar Yakar, among others, says there are 10 selections of verses in the Psukei de Zimra section, in the heart of the Psukei de Zimra section. We have to modify that in a second. The first selection is on page 60. Hodu Lashem Kiru Vishmo. That runs on 60 through the middle of page 62. And this is from Divrei Yamim, from Chronicles. And this was a praise of God that David HaMelech composed, that King David composed. Number one. There's a collection of psukim after that. That's sort of the postscript to Hodu. We're not really going to focus on that. Number two is on page 64. Mizmor L'Soda. These are also verses from Tehillim. I know I've shared this joke with you before. There was a person who once came to his rabbi and said, give me an interesting thing to study. So he said, you know, Tehillim, Psalms, is a fascinating thing to study. His fellow studies, comes back to the rabbi says, how'd you like it? He says, I'm really not impressed. Rabbi says, why not? He says, King David just stole things out of the Siddur. You know. So Mizmor Lesoda is on page 64 in the middle. And this is the description of the experience of bringing a thanksgiving offering to God. Just a technical point for a moment. We don't say Mizmor Lesoda on days of the calendar that you wouldn't be eligible to bring a thanksgiving offering. So on Shabbos and Yom Tov, when there are prohibited acts which God mandates to be done on a given day, there's a daily korban that you bring on Shabbos. That involves Torah-defined malacha, Torah-defined work. But God said to do it, so we do it. But an optional offering that involves different types of malacha, different types of normal work prohibited on Shabbos or Yom Tov, it's not our place to bring it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So we don't say Mizmor Lesoda on Shabbos or Yom Tov. We don't say Mizmor Lesoda on Pesach, because the Toda offering involved loaves, involved chametz. So they weren't allowed to bring a Toda offering during Pesach. But in any event, Mizmor Lesoda, so if we're talking about ways that we relate to God, one of the ways that we relate to God is we give thanks to Him. So this is the second thing. It has to do with the perspective of a thanksgiving offering. The third is really a general collection of psukim. This is really from all over. Primarily from Tehillim, of course. Yehi Chvod Hashem Le'olam, that's number three. Then we have six chapters. Six chapters of Tehillim, Ashrei and the five Hallelukas, and this is very worthwhile to note, they are the final six chapters of Psalms. So this was, David HaMelech ended off Psalms with great expression of praise to God. We say the entire conclusion every day of davening in the morning. So we're at, for those keeping score, we're at number nine right now. We had three, then six, Ashrei and the five Hallelukas, nine. Skipping ahead to page 74, we have Baruch Hashem Le'olam Amen V'Amen. That is normally understood as being a postscript to the Hallelukas. Basically, the Kolbo, for example, the Avudraham, explains that after we've closed out Tehillim, we just want to talk about how blessed we are, how blessed we look at God as. So that's like a postscript to the closing out Tehillim. And then number 10 is Vayivarech David. And this is one more selection, also from Chronicles, where David expressed his appreciation of God to the Jewish people. And that's 10. What in the world is the significance of 10 here? So the Reba Yakar, among others, says, we know famously that God created the world with 10 declarations. And so therefore, if we're going to begin davening with a basic expression of our thanks to God, we highlight the fact that He created the world. Now, there's a lot of discussion as to why these 10. So we could spend the rest of the night on this, and I don't want to. I just want to give you a little bit of a taste really, really quickly. So the first creation of God was the heaven. That's what we traditionally say. So there are a number of verses in the Hodu section, the first of the 10, that talk about the greatness of the skies and the heaven. So that parallels. The second is Mizmor Lesoda, ultimate thanksgiving to God. The second declaration of God with which we created the world was the creation of light. So that's considered to be, you know, what could be a greater thing to express our thanks for than light? If you don't know what I'm talking about, think of this next time there's a blackout. The third is in Yehi Chvod. I'm sorry, not in Yehi Chvod. In Ashrei, Aromimcha Elokai Hamelach. I will elevate you, my God, the King. The third declaration was the creation of dry land. And I can only elevate you if I have the ability to stand in a secure place. I don't want to get too bogged down, but this is the gist. And before I should discuss, but the point is, each of these 10 is supposed to match up in some way to one of the declarations of the creation of the world. And that's why we have 10. That's how it's explained. Now, if you're keeping score, we're basically at page 78. Page 78, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu, and then famously, Oz Yashir. We've gotten to 10. So the Reb Yochar explains that if we're citing all of these verses, how could we not cite verses from the Torah itself about expression of our thanks to God? And the ultimate expression of thanks to God in the Chumash is the song of praise to God at the splitting of the sea. So Vayosha Hashem are the introductory psukim to the song of praise after the splitting of the sea. So we say that section. The Avudraham actually explains that there are 15 languages of praise in Yishtabach. Yishtabach is the very end of Pesukah Zimra. That's the bracha that ends Pesukah Zimra. 15 languages of praise. And he says those 15 languages of praise are based on lessons from the Pesukim of Vayivarech David and from the Pesukim of Oz Yashir. So that's why we close off with these sections. This is just, I just want to give you a general piece. So again, what we're saying is Baruch Shamar is the bracha that begins Pesukah Zimra. Yishtabach is the bracha that ends Pesukah Zimra. There are 10 sections of praise to God that touch on one way or another in his creation of the world that it is the middle of Pesukah Zimra. And before we actually end off Pesukah Zimra with Yishtabach, we talk about the Pesukim of the song of praise the Jews sang to God at the splitting of the sea. That's the basic idea. Now, people might be wondering, again, we could talk so much more about all this, but I just want to keep it moving. You ever wonder why the Shabbos Pesukah Zimra is what it is? You know, I always assumed it was because the rabbi needed more time to think about his sermon, so they stuck it in. So first of all, Mizmor Lesod is missing. We discussed that already. But there's all these additional chapters that are stuck in. So there are 7 additional chapters that are stuck into the Shabbos Pesukah Zimra. If you want to look, it's on page 374. So the Re Bar Yochar explains the reason why we stick in 7 additional chapters is because there's a pasuk, Sheva Vayom Hilal Ticha. I will praise you 7 times in the day. So we want to say extra expressions of praise to God on Shabbos, and 7 seems to be an appropriate number. But there's another reason, of course, why we would say 7 additional prayers on Shabbos, because Shabbos is the 7th day. Extremely briefly, the Re Bar Yochar explains that each of the 7 additional psalms that we say of Shabbos match up to one of the 7 days of creation. So, for example, on 374, the second verse, Hashamayim Mesaprim, Kvod Kael, the heavens speak of the greatness of God. The heavens were created on the first day. Second, the second verse on page 376 of the new psalm is Avorches Hashem Bechol Eis. I will bless God at all times. And he says that kind of matches up with the idea of Vayer Vayvoker, you know, when it was night, it was day. We have Tefillah L'Moshe on page 378. And one of the verses in there is Ma'on Hayisalanu L'Dor V'Dor. You have created this abode for us generation to generation. That matches up with the creation of the firmament. That was sort of like for the abode of God. So on and so forth. And obviously, the 7th and concluding one is, if you look on page 388, Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. So just an interesting thing to think about. Okay, I want to just touch on one more point, and then we'll open it up to any questions or comments before going on. So why do we start and end with a bracha, by the way? Like, why do we do that? You tell me you want me to say Ashrei and the Halukas, I'll say Ashrei and the Halukas. You tell me you want to say tens and sevens, and I'll say that too. What another bracha you need? So the Torah's Mincha explains that what do we do when we read from the Torah itself? When a person gets an aliyah, what happens? Make a bracha before and make a bracha after. Because that's the greatness of reading from Hashem's Torah. By the way, even if you already said the brachos on the Torah earlier that day, right? You know, you open the siddur in the morning, say brachos Torah, they give you an aliyah and shul, you still say brachos Torah. Again, because there's this great experience. So that's how we look at Pesukei Zimra. That just even saying these quote-unquote simple psukim that we say every day, it's such an extraordinary experience that we say a bracha before and after it. And, he says, how many types of blessing of God do we express when you get an aliyah? Depends how you count. Four. You know, like a, you know, the pre-aliyah bracha sort of begins with a baruch, ends with a baruch. The post-aliyah bracha begins with a baruch, ends with a baruch. How many languages of praise to God do we say between baruch shamar and yishtabach? So many more. So he says, you learn from that, that the remarkable sensation we have about being able to express this to God should be more for psukei dezimra, that we're all just sitting here with our simple sidurim, than from getting reading from the Torah itself. An interesting statement. Just one more point from the Baal HaTanya. Let Rabbi Volovsky not think that he didn't make an impact on our group. The Baal HaTanya, the famous Lubavitcher authority, Lubavitcher Rebbe, has a very interesting idea. There, he says, there are 10 languages of blessing in Baruch Sheamar. In other words, there are 10, it says the word Baruch 10 times in Baruch Sheamar. And that's supposed to match up to the 10 declarations with which the world was created. Because whenever we say praise to God, the most basic of praise is that we're all here in the first place. That we're all here and look at this remarkable world in which we live. Okay, we'll pause for some comments, questions, and then we'll go on to Ashrei itself. Any comments, questions? Okay. Yeah. Right. This is the bracha to get us into that mode, and yeah, fair enough. Okay. Yeah. Do you mean in terms of the pagination, or do you mean in terms of the words? Pagination? Honestly, my guess is the printers were worried that you'd think it was too long. But I think, I want to tell you something. There's a remarkable, there's Rabbi, for those of you who remember Rabbi Katzenstein, who was here just only a year or so ago, he gave me as a gift once. He had printed up for one of his kids' weddings, somebody had done the work, but he printed it up, a bencher that just reorganized the words of the benching and organized them out based on like the themes. The words were all the same, but just sort of like, the page was different and there was more spacing and structuring and it's a different experience to bench. So I hear what you're saying, Gregory. I don't know. Yeah. Anyone know a sitter that sort of breaks up the words of Baruch Shamar more? Mark? What? I was wondering, yeah, the current sex, yeah. Thank you very much. You don't have a price for that one, do you, Mark? Okay. Anything else before we go on? Okay. So, Ashrei itself. We'll go very slow here. We have some time. Page 66, and the goal is not to get to Ashrei tonight. We'll get through some of Ashrei. But before we actually go to the actual words of Ashrei, just as a little bit of a means of an introduction, there's another Gemara. So we had a Gemara in Shabbos that spoke about the great merit of saying Pesukei Dezimra every day, and clearly with meaning and thought and feeling. This is Gemara in Brachos. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Dalet Beis says, famous Gemara, they had a person who says, Tehillah LeDavid. By the way, we'll see in a moment, we call it Ashrei. It's really, really a misnomer to call it Ashrei. It's a chapter in Tehillim, the 145th chapter of Tehillim. Ashrei Yoshvei Vesechod Yaluchas El Ashrei Yom Shekachal Ashrei Yom Shehashem Elokav are not there. They're elsewhere in Tehillim. The first words of the chapter of 145 of Tehillim are Tehillah LeDavid. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about why we begin with Ashrei. But in any event, the Gemara says, a person who says Tehillah L'David three times a day, you know, is sure to be a person of Olam Haba. Again, clearly the meaning here is, again, with real meaning and feeling. So the significance of three times a day would seem to be because we have three davenings during the day. We actually don't say Ashrei and Maariv, but we say Ashrei twice in Shacharis, and we say Ashrei and Mincha, so we do it three times a day. So the Gemara asks, why are you so sold on the greatness of Ashrei? What's that about? So just to make a long story short, the Gemara says there's two unique things about Ashrei. One unique thing about Ashrei is that it's an Aleph Bey's organization. Famously, Nun is not present. We'll talk about that when we get there, God willing, but it's organized by Aleph, by the order of Aleph Bey's. And the significance of that is it's saying, like, wow, like, sort of, we would say, Lahav, the language would say, you know, I praise you from A to Z, like, you know, in all aspects, you know, so every letter of the alphabet. And there's a pasuk that emphasizes how much God takes care of our basic needs, of all the creations of this world. Poseach es yodecha, you open your hand, u'maspia l'chol chai ratzon, and you provide satiation to every living form to what extent they need. And so that combination makes Ashrei a remarkable tefillah. And that's why Ashrei is the core of Pesukei Zimra. Maybe later on in the series we'll talk a little bit about some of the technicalities of, let's say, a person comes late. I say all the time, that's one of the aspects of halacha I'm very expert in, what happens when you come late to shul. But the basically the bottom line of Pesukei Zimra is Baruch Sha'amar Yishtabach. We learned those are the bookends. That's the bracha that begins it, the bracha that ends it, and Ashrei. That's what it's all about. That's really the core. The Rabbeinu Yonah asks a very basic question. If you remember, we started with a Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara said that Rabbi Yossi had said, I wish I could have the portion of those who say Hallel every day. And the Gemara says, say Hallel every day? It's considered blasphemous to say Hallel every day. So the Gemara said, no, I don't mean Hallel, I mean Pesukei Zimra. So the Rabbeinu Yonah asks, okay, fine. Why is Ashrei so much better than Hallel? Hallel, you're telling me it's a terrible thing to say Hallel every day. Only on special days you should say Hallel. Ashrei, say it every day. Say it three times every day. What's the difference? Praise is praise. And why is it so bad to say Hallel every day? I would think God would be proud if we would say Hallel every day. So Rabbi Yonah says a remarkable thing. He lays it out more than what I'm about to say, but just sort of to simplify it a little bit. Rabbi Yonah says, what's Hallel about? If you had to explain to someone what Hallel is about, if you look at Hallel in context, and you look at the commentators, Hallel is basically about what happened to the Jewish people. The great things that happened to the Jewish people, emphasis on past tense. More than anything else, Hallel is about the Exodus from Egypt. Okay. You know what Ashrei is about? Ashrei is about how we benefit from God right now, as we'll see as we go through. And it's also about the eternity of God. If you spend every day talking about how wonderful things once were, there's a lot of good that could come from talking about how wonderful things once were. Gives us perspective. But if every day your emphasis is how great things were, you've got a problem. Because things are great. God does great things for us. It's not just that he did great things for us. He does great things for us. And not only does he do great things for us, he always will do great things for us. Hallel is essential periodically. Because however much I talk about, wow, I wouldn't be able to eat today without God, that's very important. And we need to remember that every day. We need to remember that more than once every day. But every now and then we need this bigger, broader, more bright, wow, imagine how God took the Jews out of Egypt. But not every day. The periodic memory of that gives us a different perspective. But this is the perspective of Rabbeinu Yonah. This is what's so special about Ashrei. Ashrei is rooted in present and future. And Hallel is rooted in past. That's an interesting thing. We'll touch on this in a few minutes, God willing, but the commentator, Seyd al-Aderech, says that the real punchline of Ashrei, and particularly this idea of the eternity mentioned within Ashrei, is what's different about God's kingdom from any other dominion in this world is the eternity of God's kingdom. And then it's, you know, mighty kingdoms, mighty kings rise and fall. And God is the only king that's eternal. That, and we'll see different references to that through Ashrei, God willing. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about, again, I'm on page 66 in the Art Scroll English. So where it's really at is the beginning of chapter 145, which begins with Tehillel David. So why do we say this, Ashrei Yoshvei Veisech, in the first place? These first two verses are from Tehillim, are from Psalms, but they're not from this chapter of Psalms. So there's a Tosis in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, that says as follows. The Gemara learns a very important concept from this first pasuk. Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha, Od Yahalelu Chasela. Fortunate, praiseworthy are ones who dwell in your house. They will praise you further. The Gemara learns from this pasuk that before one davens, one needs to take time to reflect before they daven. So as you see, praiseworthy are those who dwell in your house. It sort of connotes whether literally sitting down or just sort of like being there. And then once they're there, they'll praise you further. So if this is the core of what this whole section of davening is about, to kind of put us into that mode, doesn't it make sense that we give that pasuk, which speaks about the value of reflection, before this core part of preparation of tefillah? That's what Tosis explains. Okay, that handles the first pasuk for us. What about the second pasuk? You know, and the shame is you can't even say that they were consecutive. They are approximately 60 chapters apart in the book of Psalms. So that's not going to work very well. A common understanding is if you look at the two psukim together, how many times does it say Ashrei? Three. It says Ashrei three times in the first two psukim. So this gets back to this idea that we're supposed to say this tefillah three times a day. Again, it certainly is meaningful, because what Ashrei Rav Schwab comments, that Ashrei, we translate Ashrei as praiseworthy, see, that's why I translate it in the English here, but Rav Schwab says the real point is how joyful we should be that we have this opportunity. It's a very nice thing to think about. You know, I had a little bit of an interesting experience when we were on vacation. I guess I am going to talk about my vacation. We were on vacation. I had more davening duty with one of my kids than I normally do. Normally, either the wonderful patient teachers at school handle it, and on off days, normally my wife handles it. So it's wonderful, you know, they were davening. My son was davening what he's taught in school. And a lot of the things that he does in school, they do it in songs. And it happens to be a number of the tefillos they do in songs are uppity, moving songs. And I think he started, I don't think it was my idea, but, and I don't know if they do this in school or not, I didn't ask him, but I found that a number of the times that we sang, we sort of danced to some of these different tunes. And the Rebbe is an excellent Rebbe, and he picked very uppity tunes. And at first I was dancing with him because it was a way to get through it. You know, like he seemed to know, okay, it's good enough, we'll do it, you know. And then the more time that passed, the more I realized, wow, this is what you want. The idea that as we, and you know, and he's just a kid, and he doesn't really understand what he's saying, but the basic idea that the way we relate to God in prayer is with this sense of joy, it's a remarkable thing to think about. And that's really the point that Rav Schwab makes, that we emphasize this word Ashrei. You know, how fortunate we are. I've mentioned this before in Shul. I once was with a group of educators, and we were talking to a very well-respected educator who focuses on children who have sort of been turned off from Judaism and trying to get them back involved and back on. And we were sitting with him and we asked him, okay, you see the problem at its greatest, one of its greatest points. What should we be, what are we not doing enough of? You know, we, the broader educational world. He says, the one thing you have to make sure to bring home to your kids, to your students, so much, is how fortunate they are to be Jews. Kids have to, again, and not just in lip service, obviously. And I think we can intuitively understand that. But we can't forget ourselves in that message either. Forget our kids, forget our students. Do we feel that we're fortunate? And again, I'm not saying from an educational perspective, for ourselves, if we intuitively understand that our children will benefit from that message, do we impart that message to ourselves ever? It's just, I think, a worthwhile thing to think about. Okay, just to complete this thought, if you skip ahead to page 68, I hope people don't leave too scandalized, but the last verse of Ashrei is also not from this psalm. The last verse of Ashrei is Tilas Hashem Midaber Piv Yivorei Kol Basar Hashem Kodesh Al Yolam Voed, which, but remember, it's all about Aleph to Tav, so Tav is the last letter. So the last verse is Vanach Nvarech Ka Me'atav Yad Olam Haluka. Will bless God forever, praise God. It's also a verse from elsewhere in Psalms. Why do we even say this? Why is this here? So we explained the two Ashrei verses at the beginning. Good. What's this doing here? So this, the commentary Hamanhig explains, well, look at the next five chapters. I mean, if you look to page 70 for a moment, the next section begins with the word Haluka and ends with the word Haluka. And that's how the next one, that's how the Halukas go. So we're going into the Halukas. So as a lead into the Halukas, we add on a verse to the end of Ashrei that also ends with Haluka. Praise God. Very, very practical reason. The Sefer Or HaChaim asks such a basic question on this. How many times do we say Ashrei a day again? Three. How many times do we say it in conjunction with the Halukas? Once. How many times do we say Vanach Nvarech Ka Me'atav Yad Olam Haluka a day? Three. So is it just to be in good practice? I mean, it's a little strange, a little bit difficult to understand. So the Or HaChaim says there's a whole different reason why we say this last verse. You know, Ashrei is all about how much we need God and how desperate we are without God. And in a sense, the most basic of those psukim is the verse of Poseach Es Yodecho Masbi Al Chai Ratzon, that you open your hand and you give things to all life. You know, if you think too much about that, it gets a little depressing. It gets invigorating and inspiring, but every now and then, especially if you're saying it three times a day and really thinking about it, by the way, it could get a little depressing. It's hopeless. I can't do anything. It's wonderful that God takes care of me, but who am I already? So he suggests the practice in Klal Yisrael as we end off. You know something? Because we cultivate this relationship with God, because we say these praises to God, we'll merit for all eternity to be blessing him. You know, presumably the way to look at it is, you know, our souls will live on. We might not be as independent as we'd like to be in this world, but we're far more eternal than we ever imagined that we are in the next world. And so he suggests that Vanach Nvarech Ka Me'atav Yad Olam Haluka is a little bit of a chizuk. It's a little bit of a bucking ourselves up after focusing on how helpless we are in this world. It's a very interesting perspective. Any questions, comments? Judy. You know what? I'll tell you what, Judy. I'm sorry. What we're going to do, I was misleading a little bit because I sort of jumped back and forth. We're going to go through very clearly each pasuk over these coming weeks, God willing. So maybe if you don't mind waiting for that, we'll get there, okay? Yeah.
I think
for those who say it, I think the idea is because it really is what we're talking about. And Amur, as it is said, that God opens his hand and he gives all what they need. That's the punchline of what we're talking about in the first blessing of the benching. So we say, you know, as we're taught in Tehillim, that's the point. Yeah. Thank you. Anything else before we go on? Okay, let's just go a little bit. Stuart, what time did you have in mind for ending? 8? So let's, okay. So let's begin to go through the actual psukim. I'm on page 66. Ashrei yoshvei veisecha. Fortunate are those who sit in your house. I actually didn't translate that so well just now. If you had to say those who sit in your house, I probably, if we would think about it, we would say Yoshvim beveisecha. Yoshvei veisecha is a little bit of a different thing. Yoshvei veisecha is a smichus, right? It's a connection of two. So Yosh, literally this means the sitters of your house. Not in your house. Of your house. That's the grammar here. Is everybody with me? So what's that even mean, the sitters of your house? So Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch says, and by the way, which house are we talking about exactly? What are we talking about? I mean, what would, on its most basic level, what we call the house of God, what would we say? Beis HaMikdash, right? So does David HaMelech mean that the ideal mode of Klal Yisrael is to stage sit-ins in the Beis HaMikdash? Doesn't seem that that's how we did it. So what's he even talking about? So Rav Hirsch says, because of those two points, Rav Hirsch says that the pshat in the pasuk is, the way to look at the pasuk is, not sitters, but, for lack of better terminology, residents. But not physically, because again, you didn't have people who lived full-time in the Beis HaMikdash. People who are always dwelling in the house of God. You know, there's a famous letter from Rav Yitzchak Huttner of blessed memory. He had I mentioned this before also, he had a student who wrote him a very pained letter that he had had such inspiring times in yeshiva. And then after he left yeshiva, he felt like he was leading a double life. He felt like, you know, when he would go to shul, when he would go to a class, when he would have a chavrusa, he was like serving God, a religiously worthwhile life. And then when he would go to work, it was sort of like something else. And Rev Huttner told him, you're looking at it all wrong. He says, you have to see life as one big house. If a person eats their meals in the dining room and sleeps in the bedroom, they're not living a life of contradiction. Are they dining room people or are they bedroom people? It's all under one roof. So the point is, two people can hold the exact same schedule, and two people can do a lot of mitzvos in a day. And one person can be living a divinely inspired and guided life. And one person, and this is not bad at all, but one person could be doing a lot of good things and a lot of powerful things. It's a whole different attitude. But a yoshvei veisecha are people who every moment of their lives, whether they're doing what's ostensibly the most spiritual or whether what they're doing what's ostensibly mundane, they're always, so to say, in God's house. If that's making sense. Did I say that clearly or did it not? Yeah, okay. So that's how Rav Hirsch understands Yoshvei Veisecha. So, and again, and imagine to just reflect on that. Imagine to reflect on that three times a day. That it doesn't matter what I'm doing. It doesn't matter if, you know, if I'm sitting in traffic, bumper to bumper, doing nothing, and I can somehow keep my cool, and I can tell myself that this is part of what I'm supposed to be as a human being also, I'm also in God's house. You know, it could be anything, as long as I live my life with a certain purpose in the moment. In the moment. Kathy, is that the way to say it? In the moment, right? From Sunday morning, right? That's the way. Okay. So Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha. So fortunate are those who are dwellers of your house. Od Yahalu Chasela. they'll continue to praise you. People who can have that experience, whatever is happening in life, will be able to find the opportunity to sing praises to God. Ashrei ha'am shekachalo. Fortunate is the nation that this is its lot. Ashrei ha'am shehashem elokav. Fortunate is the nation that Hashem is its God. And that to view our connection with God as not only on a personal level, but to view our connection with God as being very much connected to the national level, is a very powerful thing too. Tehila l'David. So now this is actually the beginning of chapter 145 in Tehillim. So praise of David. This is the compilation of praise of David. This is, of course, connected to the word haluka. Haluka means praise God. Tila means praise. And so basically he begins these last six chapters with this phrase, that the last six chapters will now be all about appropriate praise of God. Aromimcha Elokai Hamelach. What a strange word. I will raise you. That's the, like, imagine if you wanted to express thanks to someone. What would be the first word you would use? Thanks, right? Thank you. You're great. You're wonderful. You're high? What a strange thing to say. The Radak says that the pshat is that I recognize that you are loftier than all other forces in this world. So I come out of the box, the first words out of my mouth are, I don't begin to understand what you do for me and what you do in this world. That's how I need to begin the conversation. By the way, what literally it means, I will lift you. What does that mean anyway? I'm giving God a pep talk or something? What does that mean? Exalt you, but quite literally. So the Radak says that I will come, which is really like exalt, I guess, I will come to recognition in my own heart. That I will create an understanding in my own heart and mind that you are so much loftier than anything in this world. So another interesting point is Elokai, my God. The Radak says, of course, you're not only my God. You're the God of the entire universe. But as I raise you, you become more my God. In other words, there's more meaningful relationship between us. Va'avarcha shimcha li'olam va'ed. And I will bless your name forever. We start off, I will raise you. And then we say, I will bless your name. You know, so the first part talks about you, and the second part talks about your name. What's that about? So the Malbim explains, first of all, the language of bracha. Again, we've spoken about this before. Blessing, forgive me, is not such a good translation. That's what we all say. But, you know, I want to say a bracha, so I, God bless you. And so was God more blessed? I mean, look, what does that mean? So what bracha really, really means is a language of abundance. So I recognize the abundance which you shower upon me. Every time I make a bracha, it's a verbal recognition on my part and hopefully an emotional recognition that everything that I have is from God. Now, the Malbim explains, I can't begin to understand you, God. You're beyond me. That's what we said in the first part of the verse. I have to lift you up very high, exalt you. Shame, a name, is something by which a person is known. Right? So I can look at what you do for me. I could look at what you do in this world, at least the parts that I recognize, the parts that I can call by name, so to say, and I can recognize how much comes from you. I can't recognize how much you are, but I can recognize to a limited extent how much you give. It's different. People, okay. Just technically for a moment, so I'm going to bless you forever? I don't know. How much time do we have in this world already? What does that mean? So, very interesting. To me, this is always an eye-opener. The Radak says, you're reading the Pasuk wrong, at least one possibility. Avarcha shimcha liolam va'ed. I will bless your name, and your name is eternal. In other words, it's not that I'm blessing you eternally, it's that I'm blessing your eternal essence. That's one way to understand the Pasuk. Another possibility the Radak says is everything is relative. So forever means all the days of my life. That's another pshat the Radak says. And finally, the Radak suggests the possibility that if I work in this world on exalting you, then I'll merit that my soul will continue to sing your praises even after my body leaves this world. And avarcha shimcha liolam va'ed. And that truly my soul will continue to praise you really for eternity. It sort of speaks to this idea a little bit too, when we say that man is created b'tzelem Elokim. Man is created in the likeness of God. What does that mean? A lot of discussion among the commentators. I believe it's a Sforno. The Sforno says that what Elokim actually means is Elokim means eternity. And I'm simplifying what he says, but this is at least a basic point. And that God created man that through our souls, we really can live eternally. Not in this world, but we can do good deeds in this world in a way that our souls continue to benefit in the world to come. Just interesting, you know, if we're trying to be a little more reflective, to not only think about God and how much we owe God, but to think about ourselves and sort of what we're here for, and we really can be eternal if that we only focus ourselves appropriately in this world. Debbie. So a little bit of a confession. We're jumping back and forth between different mefarshim, so sometimes things don't perfectly fit. I think you're referring to the Malbim. So the Malbim said that I don't know you, God. You're beyond me. So all I can really relate to is what I see from you. So your name is what I call you. So what I recognize of you in this world, all I can do is I can point out all the abundance that I see that you bring to this world. I can't bless you, I can bless your name. So the first half, Aromimcha, I'll just hold you up loftily. I know I can't do anything, but I have to try. Avarcha shimcha liolam v'ed, focus at least on what I see from you. Yeah.
If the purpose here is to bring us to a realization of what God does for us, wouldn't it be more effective to list more things that he does for us like we do in the brachas at the beginning rather than how many different ways I can praise him?
I think that's a very interesting point. I think we will see that we, as it continues, he does do that to a certain extent. I think the what he's getting at the beginning, I think, is that we have to have a certain frame of mind. Two people can see the exact same episode and can have very different viewpoints on it. So I think he's sort of saying the more we become reflective, grateful people to God, if we start that way, we'll appreciate. I think that's the point. It's an interesting point. I think so. Gregory?
Just on the word usher. They translate it as give praiseworthy.
Yeah.
Is it praiseworthy or is it fortunate? Which there is a change in tone a little bit. Later called her son usher, which meant fortunate, unconditional, not praiseworthy. It's the same word. Here they, for some reason, translate praiseworthy. Fortunate, you receive everything and no merit. Praiseworthy is a little bit of your
That's interesting. It's very interesting. If we weren't tethered to translations, I would agree with you. I think you're right. I think it's fortunate. I that's how I would think of it. Your proof from the pasuk, by the way, I think is a very, I think it's a very valid proof. And that I think fits into what Rav Schraub was talking about before. We're just so fortunate. I mean, it's remarkable to just think. You know, we're living, and I don't mean this in any way disrespectful to any other human being on this planet, but we believe that we have so much more perspective, so much more limited understanding than so many people around us. I'm repeating myself so many times, but I once, the first Rosh Hashanah, but we had moved in. I did Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur still in Bethesda, but we were already living here in Camp Mill. So it was like Erev Rosh Hashanah afternoon, and we're driving back to the house in Bethesda from our home in Camp Mill, and we were driving through downtown Bethesda. I didn't normally hang out in downtown Bethesda 15 minutes before Yom Tov. And it was just so remarkable to me. I'm in bumper-to-bumper traffic, and I see people wandering up and down the streets of downtown Bethesda. And here I am on the way to recognize the anniversary of the creation of man with the master of the universe. And all these people walking up and down the street, they have no idea what's about to happen. Again, I don't mean it in a condescending way. I mean it in how remarkable it is that we have this perspective. And I think that's really, Asher Yoshev, it's just so remarkable what we have. And to have the opportunity to express that is awesome. And to have the opportunity to express that, and that the master of the universe cares, and the master of the universe is interested in my expressing it, is remarkable. And to think about that 3 times a day. Maybe we'll hold here, and God willing, next week, I really do plan on getting through this in 2 more weeks, and hopefully we'll have some time to either talk about some other halachas of Pesukei Zimra, maybe talk a little more about Baruch Shem or Yishtabach, but at a bare minimum, God willing, we'll get through Ashrei over the next 2 weeks, God willing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Just a quick announcement before you all leave. As the Rabbi said, there are 2 more classes next Tuesday night. Also, Rabbi Mendelevich is going to be the scholar in residence on Shabbos, February 9th and 10th, 10th and 11th, something like that. He is a former Soviet refusenik. He was in the Gulag for a number of years. In prison, he had a religious awakening and he came from, got out with Israel, became a rabbi, and now went to the world and had a year. So he'll be speaking for the Community from People project on Sunday after the Shabbaton, specifically on how prayer can change our lives and release us from our own personal and spiritual prisons. So I hope you'll all join us again Sunday morning at 10:30 on February 12th.
At 10:30 here.
10:30 here in Illinois.
Thank you.